I want to express again, probably need to do this on a Sunday morning, our appreciation for you. And for we were driving down the road last night, and or this morning after the service, gone to lunch, and we were talking about a Sunday school class fellowship, and I was trying to tell Sheila, I said, you know, that was really, that's all I could say. She said, are you crying? I said, I am. I said, I have been so blessed by our church and how you have just been there for our family and have been, we cannot say enough of the grace that you have shown and the non-gossip talk stuff. I am so, so blessed by you. And we are, our whole family has been just in amazement of how blessed we've been. And your folks, you've just, there's just, again, there's no way for me or any of us to express how blessed we've been by the body of Christ and your surrounding of us and just the incredible, it's just been amazing. And there's not, no way I could find the words to express appreciation to you for that. You are, and I've always known this, but you are an exceptional body of believers, and so very, very, very thankful for that. As we talk about these last two gifts for today, spiritual gifts, I want you to think about something. Jesus said this, and we're going to come back to this at the end, but I want to crank up with this. He said to his followers, you are the light of the world. And so that's you, that's us. We are the light of the world. And in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, let your light shine so that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we are light, and we are his light for his glory and for his name's sake. Now, I share that with you because as we're thinking about spiritual gifts, and I'll keep driving this home for the next couple of Sundays, since you have been born again, since the Holy Spirit has done a work in your life and has moved in, when he did the work and when he moved in, he gave you himself. And part of giving you himself, he gave you spiritual giftedness to be used in the church. In the last couple of weeks, I've talked to a lot of members, and we talked about spiritual gifts. And at times in your life, I believe all the gifts will evidence themselves, but for the most part, during your life, there's going to be one or two that are just they're the supreme thing that makes you tick in as far as your service to the Lord. Now, since he has done this, he has intended for you and for me to allow our light to shine. And as we read this morning in the passage in Romans, that if your gift is this, you're to do it with this. And he's always talking about, you know, just do it. Just do it in a tremendous way. You know, not a, yeah, my gift is this, and yeah, I do this. No, it's just with a passion and a zeal and enthusiasm to take, number one, the gift of God, to appropriate it and appreciate it, okay? Appropriate it and appreciate it. That means be grateful and just use it for his glory and his namesake, in that we are reflecting, shining the light that comes from God. And we'll come back to that at the end, but let's take these last two for today, and then you'll do some more this week. The last two for today, first one is the gift of knowledge. The gift of knowledge. Now, every time we're going through this, I want you to think. Now, some of you have gone through spiritual gift studies and spiritual gift discovery times. times, and some of you have already gone through the place workshop, and you may already know your spiritual gift, but there's a lot of people who really don't know and haven't yet discovered it. So as we're going through this, I want you to think about some of the things that you see in what's here, so that you'll say, yeah, that's me. And when that's the case, take that knowledge and understanding and scripture, and then seek to develop or cultivate the use of that gift. Just because you were given that gift at perhaps a young age, it doesn't mean that you are given a full capacity to fully use it right then. I think we're expected to grow in it, cultivate it, and practice it, use it for the Lord's glory. So the gift of knowledge, according to J. McSwain, again, who is the one who put together the place ministry packet and information workshop. He says the gift of knowledge is the special attribute given by God's Spirit to certain members of the body of Christ to acquire deep insights into God's Word and bring illumination of these insights that cannot be explained through human reason. So in other words, the gift of knowledge is to be able to look and discern and take scripture and then be able to present it in a significant way. People with this gift, some observations here: perceive, receive, and apply truths to serve the church. The person with the gift of knowledge read scripture, can pull truths out, and then take it, not only apply it to understand it, but apply it and to help other people to apply it, so that the church will be filled with knowledge and understanding of scripture. Next, they search the Bible for insight, guidance, understanding, and examples. Now, I'll tell you, all believers, I believe, are expected to use knowledge. And the way we do this, again, is reading scripture. I've had in the last week about four or five people come to me and say, you know, I'm reading through scripture, the five chapters a day. And it has been a tremendous, tremendous blessing. Have you been doing that? Has it been okay? Now, I don't know about you, but what I'm getting from this, because I'm now through chapter 18 of Genesis and Joshua and Job and Isaiah and Matthew. Now, all this will be that won't last long. If you're doing this, you're going to go for a while, and then one book will end, and you'll get all zigzag. That's why you need that sheet there to look at every day. But as I'm doing this, I'm seeing things again as I'm going through it the second time in this method. I'm seeing things and how they overlap, and how God has put this together, and there's so much to glean. And that helps us not with a knowledge that puffs up, but with a knowledge that builds up. It builds up the body of Christ. And the person with the gift of knowledge uses that gift to build up the body of Christ and to help others grab the truth and apply it in their own lives. Next, they want to organize and connect information from different sources. In other words, pulling from different places what has been said about this. And to me, that's a tremendous, you know, these days, what a tremendous time to study God's Word and the bountiful resources out there. And now I was looking up the yesterday, just making sure that I understood crino and diacrino, and I just Googled diacrino, and my heavens, you know, there were just a ton of things that came up talking about judgment, talking about the whole idea of condemnation, because when God does that, He's doing it so that we will understand. God does not condemn for condemnation purposes. When God points out sin, the goal is repentance and obedience. As much as you think you want to be blessed by God and experience His benefits, listen, God wants you infinitely more to experience His blessings and benefits. God is not some type of ogre who's waiting for you to mess up so He can come and pounce on you. He is telling us these things so that we'll know, have an understanding of our failures and our sin, and we can repent and turn away and follow Him in obedience. We were having a conversation yesterday, and Sheila and I, we were talking about how often we encounter believers that find themselves in a place where they can't believe they're there. How did I get here? And you hear me preach this because I talk to so many people that say, how in the world did I get here? Well, have I told you how you get there? Thank you very much. You listen well. One step at a time. When a believer is walking with the Lord and takes one step off and does not make the next step a return step, this one that is not followed by a return will take you places you never dreamed you would go, and you're playing with fire. No, you don't lose your salvation, but you do lose fellowship and blessings and benefits of walking with the Lord. And so the person with the gift of knowledge wants to help people see God has this for you. I was talking to a lady this morning, and I was telling her I had both of her children on my prayer list. And she began to tear up. And I said, my prayer is for God's best. You know, when you don't know specifically how to pray for someone, the best specific prayer you can pray is for God's best. That's a specific prayer. Because I want people, again, to experience God's blessings and benefits, and that is by being in the middle of God's will, and so that you won't miss His best. I mean, really, think about it. If a person tells me, I am a follower of Christ, as a preacher, as a pastor with the gift of knowledge and the gift of wisdom, and they tell me, I am a follower of Christ, and they tell me something else that they're doing in their life that is inconsistent with that, I'm thinking, what in the world are you doing? You know? Why would you do that? You know, in one moment, I'm following the Lord, and then in other areas, I'm schizophrenic with it and heading off in strange directions. And it behooves us to say, whoa, wait a minute now. You know, that's going to take you someplace where you don't want to go. And so the person with the gift of knowledge that maybe is a counselor, a Sunday school teacher, a pastor, or whatever, it wants to take some people and help them to understand and grasp the truth that's given from Scripture and use it in their life. And then present data to clarify, inform, and inspire others. Now, how many of you think you have the gift of knowledge? Raise your hand. Okay. All right. I agree with you. Those hands, most of those I see, yep, I can see it. And would have said that myself. All right, now the last one for this evening is the gift of leadership. The gift of leadership is a special attribute given by God's Spirit to members of the body of Christ to provide direction and goals to a group and bring together resources and people that work together to accomplish these goals. And there you see in Romans 12:8, he who leads with diligence. This is zeal and enthusiasm to lead. The idea is, and... oh my goodness! Who is the? Is John MacArthur? John MacArthur. He always says, if you believe you're a leader and you turn around and there's nobody following you, there may be a problem. That's a problem, and that may be a not so good indication. A person with the gift of leadership takes a people from point A to point B and whatever is beyond that, and folks follow. My theory has been, and I've shared this with the staff, the pastors for years and years and years, and that is, I'll take as many people with me as I can this time, and hopefully those that didn't go this time will go next time. To put it in Herman Cain's words, he says, those who are with us, get on the wagon. Those who aren't, get out the way. All right? Amen. Amen. That's probably a little bit more crude way of saying it, but there's the movement here that we need to be involved in. People with this gift, stay calm in the midst of anxiety and conflict. We're going somewhere, and we know that going somewhere will mean we're going to hit rough waters. One of the toughest things about pastoring a church, just bearing my heart, is sometimes navigating waters that you don't think we're going to make it through. You know, you feel like, oh no, this is one of those hurricanes that were water's coming up on the boat and the wind's blowing and we're getting tossed all about. But the thing that we need to do is navigate and see through to the place that we're going. Distinguish between feelings and thoughts, rumors and facts. Yes. You got to make the distinction between this is what we're feeling and this is true. This is what people are saying and here's what is true. And staying on course. I've shared with the guys for many, many years. I've mentioned this a ton of times. And that is, we're on a journey. We're on a journey. And at times we're going to have to get off at an exit for the purpose of relieving ourselves or for getting something to eat or taking a break, but we're not going to build a house there. All right? Too many people and too many churches have taken an exit and then just stayed there, and the church became stagnant and eventually died there. And we will have to take little side trips occasionally, but we're not going to go on down the road. We're just going to get right back on and continue in the direction that God has us in. They stay connected with those in disagreement, and I have to express my appreciation to my wife for that. She doesn't let me quit on people who disagree with me. Thank you, Lord. What a blessing that is. Observe and constructively name in the moment unexpressed feelings, values, and interests. Keep the big picture in view. Always, you know, I'm a big picture kind of guy. Here's where we're going. Here's what we're doing. And you know, the other part of that is everybody else got to take care of details because I don't do details. Thank you, Lord, for detail people. Set goals, works to achieve them, and welcome evaluation. Takes responsibility for failures and credits others for successes. Hey, the person with the gift of leadership says, let's go. We got things to do. And we got places to go. There's work to be done. And let's get on with it instead of just constantly holding back and stopping. So how many of you think got the gift of leadership? Believe you got the gift of leadership. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Press on in that. Now, I want to conclude with this tonight. Now, again, we'll do more gifts this coming up week in your devotions. And then, of course, next Sunday. I started off talking about you're the light of the world. And Jesus said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. If you go back to Genesis 1, verse 3, it's where God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, you know that's very interesting because this was before he created sun and moon and stars. So this was not the light of those things. This was the light that he created that was to flood the whole vastness of his creative order. And so he gave that instruction, and when he did, there was light. So we know then that there's other light other than stars, sun, moon, artificial lighting. There's other light that is there. I've already pointed out the passage in Matthew chapter 5. Now, there's one in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And if you will, turn over there with me also, because I want you to see this. I think one of the hardest things that we as Christians do is to stay on track, because there are at least a million different things that will distract us. All right, at least a million. And, the NIV in Hebrews says, let us fix our eyes. I love it from the NIV. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he fixed his eyes on his Father's will and wasn't distracted by everything that was going on. Now listen to me. You are, I don't mean to be offering judgment here, but when the group that comes back on Sunday night, it, to me, is saying, hey, come on, give it to me. Let's go. Give it to me. You are those that must lead the way with your eyes fixed on Jesus. And we must, as again, leaders committed to the Lord, we must diminish distractions in our own lives. Those things that would pull us away, pull us down, tear us down, cause us to give up, throw in the towel, whatever it is. Now, in this passage in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, it says this, "For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' he has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ." You may be the only light some people will see. You may be the only light some people will see. Now, that helps us, doesn't it? Put into context the statement, we cannot fall, fail, forfeit, quit, run, or bail, because there are people around you who need this light that is not artificial light. It's not sun, not moon, not stars. It is the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ shining through you. And unfortunately, and of course we could, let's try this. Jesus said that you don't take, in that same context in Matthew 5, he said you don't take a lamp and put a basket over it. Now, let's have a little interaction here. What kind of baskets do we contend with? What are some baskets that we contend with that cause us to cover up our light? Got some baskets? Okay, yeah, so I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. All right, amen. What are some other dampenings, covers? What?
Fear.
Oh, yeah, fear. That's a big, ugly basket. Fear, excuses, don't have to go to church. What else? What other lights? Joseph? Okay, don't want to change. Hey, leave me alone. Leave me alone. Like it just the way I am. What else? Other things that maybe where we cover up the brightness of the light. Barbara? Okay, too many hypocrites there. Yeah, all right. If it's everybody else's fault, I'm fine. Anything else? Apathy. All right, yeah. It's just, but again, listen to the thing here, that he has put light in us to shine to others, and you may be the only light that some people will have in their life. And with that, then again, we put it in the context of tired, weary, can't take this anymore, can't do this anymore, fed up with it, all this stuff. I cannot fall, fail, forfeit, quit, run, or bail. You see, those little six statements, when I first put that together back in the springtime, it was, yeah, that sounds pretty good. Little did I know, he's going to say, okay, let's put it to the test, dude. No, this isn't fair. God gave Hosea, gave Ezekiel, he even made Ezekiel sometimes the illustration himself. And oftentimes God puts us in those settings. And then we go, oh, I see what that means. I understand now. Crossing my mind, okay, I think I will retire. I said I wasn't going to, but, and then it was kind of, Lord says, remember that stuff, you cannot fall, fail, forfeit, quit, run, or bail. I meant that for everybody else. That was for them to hear. That was not for me to live in my own life. But God is so good to say, I want to use you. All right, let's do the test. You ready? Wrist, fingers. Oh, gosh. Ah, I got one. He's not finished with me yet. Oh, so I can't quit. I can't fall, fail, forfeit, quit, run, or bail, because he's left me here. He's still blessed me with a pulse. So obviously, I'm not finished yet. God's not finished with you yet. And you have a gift. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you have the giftedness of the Holy Spirit. And it is your responsibility to use it. I can't use your gift. Only you can use your gift. We'll help you put it to work in and through the body of Christ, but only you can use your gift. And I suggest that you practice doing it with great zeal and enthusiasm and excitement, not that you have to, but because you get to, for His glory. All right, it's time to pray. So, we got a little bit of time here, so let's take about 5 or 10 minutes or so and just spend some time saying, God, think about the people. Think about the people that He has around you that they need to see the light. All right? It may be friends, family members. It may be coworkers that you don't like and that don't even like you. But God has put you there, as in the Esther situation, for such a time as this to be that light. So let's spend some time in prayer, seeking the Lord in this.